Welcome to Zichud Asim Money. Remember, we have Ram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Mitzvah Shem Rikim Masayim, the Sin Money from Masechet Shabbos with this shir. So the three parts are going to focus on number one. The Gemara brings a machlokas marayim between Rav Acha and Ravina regarding the final halacha of Muksa. One said, Bechol Shabbos Kula halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, Labarma Muksa Machmas Mios. Regarding all of Hilchot Shabbos, the laws like Rabbi Shimon, and there is no prohibition of Muksa except in regard to Muksa due to repugnance, such as a ner yashan, a used clay lamp. The other said, but muksa makmas mias nami halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, labarma muksa makmas iser. Even in regard to muksa due to repugnance, the law is like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon only in regard to muksa due to prohibition, such as a lamp in which a flame had been lit on Shabbos. Everyone agrees, though, that muksa makmas chesro on kis, afil Rabbi Shimon moda, with regard to something that is muksa, for fear of monetary loss, even Rabbi Shimon concedes that it's muksa. Examples are the Mesra Agadav Yasset Shomach Resha, a large saw and a plow blade. Point number two, the last mission of the Masechta states, Mefirin Nedarim B'Shabbos, we may annul vows on Shabbos, which Rashi explains as referring to a husband annulling his wife's vow. V'nishalin Nedarim Shehem L'Tzorach HaShabbos, and we may seek release from vows from a Chacham, made to abstain from things that are necessary for Shabbos. Rashi provides the example of one who makes a neder not to eat on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, if the Mishnah permits one to seek release from Nedarim K'shelo Hayo Lo Panai, in a case where he had no opportunity to do so before Shabbos, O Dilma Afil Hayolo Panai, or does it refer to even a case in which he did have an opportunity to do so before Shabbos? A proof is brought from an incident in which the Rabban released Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zerah, from a nether, even though he had the opportunity to seek release from it before Shabbos. And point number three, the Mishnah brought an incident in which they shuttered a window with a tapiach, an earthenware flask, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass in order to determine whether there was an opening the size of a tefach in a certain barrel. The Mishnah concludes that we learn from this incident, pokeking modidim v'koshim v'shabbos, we may shudder, measure, and tie on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the incident involved a corpse in a narrow alley where a cracked barrel rested upon the two houses sheltering the corpse, and before the person died, they had shuttered the window with the flask to prevent tumah from entering the house. They then tied the earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass to see if they could pass it through the crack in the barrel to see if there was a tefach-sized hole in it. If the hole was the size of a tefach, then the tumah would escape through the crack and the barrel wouldn't serve as a roof of an oel. This would permit them to take the flask out of the window since the tumah would not spread into the houses. So once again, the three points are: point number one, the Gemara brings a malchokas and marayim between Rav Acha and Ravina regarding the final halacha muksa. One said, Bechol Shabbos kula halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, labarma muksa machmas mias. Regarding all of Hilchot Shabbos, the laws of K'Rabbi Shimon, that there is no prohibition of muksa, except in regard to muksa due to repugnance, such as using a ner yashan, a used clay lamp. The other said, but muksa makmas mios, nami halacha K'Rabbi Shimon, labarma muksa makmas iser. Even in regard to muksa due to repugnance, the law is like K'Rabbi Shimon. The halacha doesn't follow K'Rabbi Shimon only in regard to muksa due to prohibition, such as a lamp in which a flame had been lit on Shabbos. Everyone agrees, though, that muksa makmas chesro and kis afil Rabbi Shimon moda. With regard to something that is muksa for fear of monetary loss, even Rabbi Shimon concedes that it is muksa. Examples are the Mesra Agadav Yasset Shomach Resha, a large saw and a plow blade. Point number two, the last mission of the Masechta states, Lafir Nedarim B'Shabbos, we may annul vows on Shabbos, which Rashi explains as referring to a husband annulling his wife's vow, V'nishanu Nedarim She'en L'Tzarach HaShabbos, and we may seek release from vows from a Chacham, made to abstain from things that are necessary for Shabbos. Rashi provides the example of one who makes a neder not to eat on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, if the Mishnah permits one to seek release from Nedarim, k'shelo hayo lo panai, in a case when he had no opportunity to do so before Shabbos, O Dilma, afil hayo lo panai, or does it refer even to a case in which he did have an opportunity to do so before Shabbos? A proof is brought from an incident in which the Rabban released Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zerah, from a nether, even though he had the opportunity to seek release from it before Shabbos. And point number three, the Mishnah brought an incident in which they shuttered a window with a tapiach, an earthenware flask, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass in order to determine whether or not there was an opening the size of a tefach in a certain barrel. The Mishnah concludes that we can learn from this incident the pokeking, modidin, v'koshim b'Shabbos. We may shudder, measure, and tie on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the incident involved a corpse in a narrow alley where a cracked barrel rested upon the two houses sheltering the corpse, and before the person died, they had shuttered the window with the flask to prevent tumah from entering the house. They then tied the earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass to see if they could pass it through the crack in the barrel to see if there was a tefach-sized hole in it. If the hole was the size of a tefach, then the tumah would escape through the crack and the barrel would not serve as a roof of an oel. This would permit them to take out the flask in the window, since the tumah would not spread into the houses. All right, so now we go to our Simcha Kuf Nun Zayin, and before I share the Simcha, I want to thank everybody for all your suggestions. Thousands upon thousands of Simanim suggestions were provided over the last number of months. I'm very grateful for all this creative input. It's been a remarkable contribution. Thank you so much. And now we're going to conclude with our final Simon for Kuf Nun Zayin and conclude the Choose a Simon contest here at Zichru. Kuf Nun Zayin, the two popular suggestions were cans and ice cream cones. And I feel that for the purposes of the Siyam, ice cream cones are much more preferable than tuna cans or corn cans or soup cans. So we're going to go with ice cream cones for Kuf Nun Zayin and our Siyam here in Maseches Shabbos. So thank you everybody for helping choose the simanim that we're going to be using as we go through Shas Mitzvah Shem together. So here goes. Ice cream cones at the Hilchos Moksa Siyam were savored by dieting Talmidim released from their vows on Shabbos, oblivious that right outside in the narrow alley a corpse was found. So once again, in slow motion. Ice cream cones, that must mean one duff, Kuf Nun Zayin. Ice cream cones at the Hilchos Moksa Siyam, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas Amarayim between Rav Ach and Ravin regarding the final halacha of Moksa. One said, B'chol Shabbos Kula halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, L'varma Moksa Makmas Mios. Regarding all of Hilchos Shabbos, the law says K'Rabbi Shimon that there's no prohibition of Moksa except in regard to Moksa due to repugnance, such as using a Ner Yashan, a used clay lamp. The other said, B'moksa Makmas Mios, Nami halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, L'varma Moksa Makmas Iser. Even in regard to Moksa due to repugnance, the law is Rabbi Shimon. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon only in regard to Moksa due to prohibition, such as a lamp in which a flame had been lit on Shabbos. Everyone agrees, though, that Moksa Moksa Chesron Kis afil Rabbi Shimon mode. With regard to something that is Moksa for fear of monetary loss, even Rabbi Shimon concedes that it is Moksa. Examples are Meser Agado V'yasid Shomachrisha, a large saw and a plow blade. So ice cream cones at the Hilchos Moksa Siyam were savored by dieting Talmidim released from their vows on Shabbos, which reminds us the last mission of the Masechta states, Mafirin Nedarim B'Shabbos, we may annul vows on Shabbos, which Rashi explains is referring to a husband annulling his wife's vow, V'Nishon Nedarim Shein L'Tzorcha Shabbos, and we may seek release from vows from a Chacham made to abstain from things that are necessary for Shabbos. Rashi provides the example of one who makes a neder not to eat on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, if the mission permits one to seek release from Nedarim, in a case when he had no opportunity to do so before Shabbos, or does it refer even to a case in which he did have an opportunity to do so before Shabbos? A proof is brought from an incident in which the Rabban released Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zera, from a neder, even though he had the opportunity to seek release from it before Shabbos. So ice cream cones at the Hilchos Moksa Siyam were savored by dieting Talmidim released from their vows on Shabbos, oblivious that right outside in the narrow alley, a corpse was found. Which reminds us, the Mishnah brought an incident in which they shuttered a window with a tapiach, an earthenware flask, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass in order to determine whether or not there was an opening the size of a tefach in a certain barrel. The Mishnah concludes that we learn from the incident, Pokakim modidim mekoshim Shabbos, we may shutter, measure, and tie on Shabbos. Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the incident involved a corpse in a narrow alley, where a cracked barrel rested upon the two houses sheltering the corpse, and before the person died, they had shuttered the window with a flask to prevent from entering the house. They then tied the earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass to see if they could pass it through the crack in the barrel to see if there was a tefach-sized hole in it. If the hole was the size of a tefach, then the tumah would escape through the crack, and the barrel would not serve as a roof of an oel. This would permit them to take out the flask in the window, since the tumah would not spread into the houses. So once again, ice cream cones at the Hilchos Moksa Siyam were savored by dieting Talmidim released from their vows on Shabbos, oblivious that right outside in the narrow alley, a corpse was found. Hadunalach Misha Hichshich, Veslikalam Masechus Shabbos. We should zoche here in Zichru to return to Masechus Shabbos week after week after week and grow in our Shmiras Shabbos and increase our appreciation for the special gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, which is Me'ein Olam Haba. Thank you everybody for your contribution to helping us all get to this wonderful point to be Masechus Masechus Shabbos. Now it's time for our four blah back chazara. Daf Kufnun Gimel. So the symbol Kufnun Gimel is a king. So here goes. It was clear that the benevolent king, that must mean we're on Daf Kufnun Gimel. It was clear that the benevolent king was destined for Olam Haba when the eulogies over him stirred great emotion, which reminds us of Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, said in the name of Rav, From the impact of a person's eulogy, it can be determined whether or not the deceased is destined to enter Olam Haba or not. Rashi explains that if those in attendance are moved to tears when the speaker eulogizes the deceased and describes his virtues, it's likely the deceased was truly righteous and will enter Olam Haba. So it was clear that the benevolent king was destined for Olam Haba when the eulogies over him stirred great emotion, recounting how he did tshuva every day, which reminds us, it was taught in the Mishnah, Rabbi Gazer said, Shuv yom echad lifnei misascha, do teshuva one day before your death. When Rabbi Gazer's Talmid asked him how it's possible to feel, given that people don't know when they're going to die, he answered, V'kol shekein, all the more so, yashuva yom shemi yamus l'machar, v'nimsa kol yama b'tshuva. Let a person say to himself that he should do teshuva today, because he might die tomorrow, and in this way he'll find himself living all of his days in a state of teshuva, which is ideal. So it was clear that the benevolent king was destined for Olam Haba when the eulogies over him stirred great emotion, recounting how he did teshuva every day, and then he used a nachri, if necessary, late every Shabbos, to carry his purse. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 24th parak states that if one was on the road at dusk, Erev Shabbos, he should give his purse to a nachri while it's still daytime, and if there's no nachri with him, he should place the purse on his donkey. The Gemara identifies additional options for one in this situation and concludes the order of preference for transporting the purse is nachri, donkey, shote, cheresh, and child. Yitzchak said that there's another method available, but the Chachamim didn't want to reveal it. The Gemara explains that if one has no other choice, malichu pachus pachus ma'arba amos, he may carry it himself in increments of less than dalet amos. The Chachamim didn't want to reveal this method because the pasuk states, kvod elokim haster davar, kvod malachim chakor davar. Regarding the honor of God, you should conceal a matter, but regarding the honor of kings, you should investigate a matter. Publicizing this method might threaten the honor of God, as one might come to carry the purse of full dalet amos in Rishus HaRabbi. Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. So the symbol of Kuf Nun Dalet is a candy man. So here goes. The shul candy man, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. The shul candy man, famous for leading his candy-laden donkey using his voice, which reminds us on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. Rami Bar Chama said, a mechamer acher behemta b'Shabbos, one who leads his loaded animal on Shabbos by goading him with his voice, b'shogeg chayv chatas b'mezid chayv skil. If he does so b'shogeg, he's chayv chatas, and if he does so b'mezid, he's chayv to be killed by stoning. Rava asked that if one is mechamer b'shogeg, he should be exempt from bringing a chatas, because it's learned through a hekesh that one is only chayv chatas if the act was done in a similar fashion to one who worships Avodah Zorah. Just as one who performs Avodah Zorah does a physical action, so too one is only chayv chatas if one does a physical action. In the case of mechamer, one is merely calling the animal. On this daf, Rav Zvi taught that Rami Mechamer accepted Rav's objection and ruled, a mechamer acher behemto b'shabbos b'shogeg eino chayv chatas, b'mezid chayv skila. If one leads his loaded animal b'shogeg, he is pater from bringing a chatas, and if he does so b'mezid, he's chayv to be killed by stoning. The Gemara brings another opinion that the above statement attributed to Rami Bar Chama was actually said by Rabbi Yochanan. Additionally, the correct statement is that if one did mechamer b'shogeg, one is exempt from a chatas, and if he did it b'mezid, he's exempt even from malchus, even from lashes, for violating lo sase, a negative commandment, which the Gemara goes on to explain. So the shul candy man, famous for leading his candy-laden donkey using his voice, didn't know what to tell the children when he found his donkey dead under a ton of spoiled honey. Which reminds us, a brice was brought that stated that Rav Gamliel's donkey was once loaded with honey as Shabbos began. Rav Gamliel did not want to unload the donkey until Motzi Shabbos, and the animal died Motzi Shabbos. So after the Gemara determines that the honey was spoiled and therefore muksa, it explains that Rabban Gamliel did not permit bringing pillows and cushions to be placed under the containers because he held Tzar Baal Chaim Durabbanan, causing suffering to a living creature is only the Rabbanan, and therefore it does not override the Durabbanan of Igmevata Koy Mehechano, nullifying the preparedness of a vessel. So the shul candyman, famous for leading his candy-laden donkey using his voice, didn't know what to tell the children when he found his donkey dead under a ton of spoiled honey, and they would no longer be able to use it as a slide. Which reminds us, Abai saw Rabba sliding his son down the back of a donkey on Shabbos and said to him that what he was doing was prohibited as he was mishtamish b'balei chayim. He was making use of a living creature. This is forbidden by the Rabban unless he come to ride on it and tear a branch of a tree and use as a whip, which would be a violation of the malach of kotzer of reaping. So Rabba answered, tzadin hen, v'tzadin lo gazibu Rabbanan. These are merely the sides of the donkey that I'm using, and the Rabbanan never decreed a prohibition regarding the sides of an animal. Daf Kuf Nun Hei. So the symbol Kuf Nun Hei is a reed. So here goes. After using his reed, that must mean run Daf Kuf Nun Hei. After using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, which reminds us, based on the next mission, there's Malchokas and Marayim regarding food preparation for animals. Rav Huna holds that one may exert himself to improve an existing food, such as untying bundles of straw and scattering them in front of the animal, but one may not make a non-food item, such as cedar boughs, which are normally used as fuel, and give it the status of food by untying them and scattering them in front of an animal. Rav Yehuda holds that one may make an animal food edible for an animal, such as untying bundles of straw, since before it's untied it cannot be eaten, but one cannot exert himself for the mere enhancement of animal food, such as scattering the bundles, which makes them more appetizing. Rashi explains that when the straw is packed together, it becomes warm and doesn't release much of a scent. As a result, the animals do not find it appealing. So after using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, Farmer John used it to cram food down his calves' throats, which reminds us the next mission discusses the feeding of animals and states, Ein ma'amirin es ha'agalim, one may not fatten calves of a malitin, but one may put food down their throats. This is Malchokas Amarayim on how to define these terms. Rav Yehuda says, Hamra'a l'makam she'ini yachola lachzir. Fattening denotes putting the food in an area in the animal's throat that is so far back that the animal cannot bring the food back. L'ata l'makam she'yachola lachzir. Putting food down their throats denotes placing the food in the throat where the animal can still bring it up. Rav Chisda says that both terms denote placing the food so far back that the animal can no longer bring it up. The difference is that hamra'a b'kli. Fattening refers to using an implement, which Rashi defines as a spoon, which the Mishnah prohibits. And halata b'yad, putting the food down their throats, refers to when this is done by hand, which the Mishnah permits. So after using his reed to scatter unbundled straw in front of the animals, Farmer John used it to cram food down his calves' throats, which didn't look very appealing to the stray dog, hoping for a chunk of meat. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yon expounded at the entrance of the Nasi's palace, what's the meaning of the pasuk, Yodei Tzadik Din Dalim, the righteous one knows the suffering of the poor. Yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'kalev Shemozono Sab Mu'atim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that a dog's food is typically meager. L'afich HaShoa Achil HaSob B'mei Av Shloshi Yami. He therefore decreed that a dog's food should linger in its belly for 3 days. Rav Hamnuna said that we learn from this that it's proper to throw a chunk of meat to a stray dog. Daf Kuf Nun Vav. So the symbol Kuf Nun Vav is a canoe. So here goes. When a baby was born on the canoe trip, that must mean one Daf Kuf Nun Vav. When a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, which reminds us, it was written in Yeshua ben Levi's ledger how a person's nature is determined based on the day of the week he was born. For example, one born on Sunday will be a man of one nature without one trace of any other nature in him. Rav Ashi says that this means that the person's nature will be either all good without a trace of bad or all bad without a trace of good. The Gemara explains that the reason a person born on Sunday will tend to extremes is because the Ibru Bei Orv Choshech, on Sunday, the first day of creation, light and darkness were created. Rabbi Chinina said to the Talmidim who read the ledger, they should go and tell Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Mazel Yom Gorim el Mazel Shal Gorim." It's not the celestial sign of the day that influences a man's nature; rather, it's a celestial sign that dominates at the hour of one's birth. For example, one born during the hour of Mars will be a spiller of blood. Rabbi Ashi says that he's destined to either be a bloodletter, thief, shochet, or moel. So when a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, to the man who's davening finally changes mazal, which reminds Rabbi Chanina holds that mazal determines one's level of intelligence and wealth, and that yesh mazal Yisrael, mazal applies to Yisrael, which Rashi explains to mean that even tefillah and tzedakah cannot change it. Rabbi Yochanan holds ein mazal Yisrael, the celestial signs hold no sway over Yisrael, which Rashi explains to mean that tefillah and tzedakah can change one's mazal. The Machlokes only refers to individuals, as they both agree on a national level, Ein Mazel Yisrael. And Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, brings a proof that Ein Mazel Yisrael from when Avram questioned who was going to inherit him, given that he knew astrologically that he was not destined to have a son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Tzei mi'iztekenino shelcha she'ein Mazel Yisrael. Go outside of your astrology, but the celestial signs hold no sway over Yisrael. So when a baby was born on the canoe trip Sunday during the hour of Mars, to the man whose davening finally changes Mazal, everybody sat down for a group meal of bread, and no one was embarrassed. Which reminds us that the Gemara brings a number of incidents that illustrate Ein Mazel Yisrael. In one case, Avlate, a non-Jewish astrologer, had said a certain man was going to die, and Shmuel said if the man was Jewish, he would live. When the man returned alive, Avlate threw off the man's pack of reeds and found a snake cut in pieces. Shmuel asked the man what he had done to make him deserving to be spared from death. The man explained that he saved the man who forgot to bring bread to a group meal from embarrassment by pretending to take bread from him. Shmuel told him that he did a mitzvah and expounded, Tzedakah tatzum amavis, and charity saves from death. V'loma misa mishuna, not just from an unusual death, elma misa atzma, but even from death itself. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which stuff do you learn that Rabban Gamliel holds that Tzar Balei Chaim is a derabbanan? That's on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. Number 2, which stuff do we discuss food preparations for animals? That's on Daf Kuf Nun Hey. Great. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that speech regarding Chepsei Shemaim is mutter on Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Nun. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that one should not close the eyes of a dying person? That's on daf Kuf Nun Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn it's best to give a nachriya purse that one is carrying at dusk erev Shabbos? That's on daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that one can use the sides of an animal? That's on daf Kuf Nun Dalet. Great. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that dog's food is typically meager, therefore Kosh Baruch Hu made it that food lingers in their bellies for 3 days? That's on daf Kuf Nun Hey. Great. Number 8. Which daf do we learn how a eulogy's impact indicates whether the mace is destined for Olam Haba? That's on daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn the negative result of causing another person to be punished in the case of Sitkiah and Nebuchadnezzar, which is brought up in the Gemara? That's on daf Kuf Men Tes. Good. And finally, question number 10. Which daf do we learn that one should give tzedakah while one can? That's on daf Kuf Nun Aleph. Great. Now the 3 bonus questions of Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we discuss the question about tzaddik v'ra'lo? That's on daf Zion. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn kol b'dei shemayim chutz miyir shemayim? That's on daf Lama Gimel. Great. And question number 3. Which daf do we have in Malchus regarding what the pasuk of the Zion meaning is coming to tell us? That's on daf Memov. Great. This concludes the pop quiz. Once again, mazel tov on completing all the shiurim on the Simanim of Masechus Shabbos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.